Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series on this 4th of July here in the United States. We're in North America. I think it's just the United States that celebrates, although other countries will celebrate sort of piggyback, but it's the independence for the United States. And to others, it's just another Thursday. But it's never another Thursday when we can be moved with the gift of living in divine will. And that's what we're going to hopefully do in a moment with and through Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live via live stream from Tennessee, from Marysville, Tennessee. Yes, we're not making that name up. Marysville, Tennessee. We begin as we always do with prayer. Our prayer is going to be a supplication. The supplication is taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. Of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I do see Mother and the sisters. Let me bring them up front, close and personal, as we speak. I'll ask them to mute themselves. Now I'm going to pin the video. And we're going to get rid of this. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello, Peter, and everybody out there. How are you?
I'm well, but I apologize actually for intruding on your 4th of July. I know you don't get any rest at all. You don't get weekends off. And my wife says, why are you disturbing Mother and the sisters on 4th of July? Well, you know what though, Mother? Jesus asks us to make this divine will our life. And of course, he doesn't ask us to shun our other responsibilities. We have to sort of balance all that he's given us. But when we can come together, we do come together because that's what our blessed Lord wants. So thank you so much for making the sacrifice. Thank you for the fiat. And thank you for all the sisters. I see Sister Jacinta. I see Sister Faustina. And is Sister Faustina the new IT director?
Yeah,
I think she is.
We have whether, a few whether, of them here. She knows.
Okay, well, that's good. The more I'm the farthest thing
trying
from
to get it fixed up. Okay, yeah.
Well, good. Well, okay. The audio is great. The video is good. We're all good to go. Great job, sister. Appreciate that. So, Mother, 4th of July, you know, Jesus talks about peace, and that's what's, you know, I mean, we hear the word peace so often. And we remember when our blessed Lord said in scripture, you know, peace be with you. But the peace I'm giving you is not of this world. And you know, that may not be so easy to understand at first, but I think once you get a taste of the euphoria that I think all of us have experienced at least once, if not numerous times, of the divine will or in the divine will, that you understand now what he meant by that. And actually, you know, when we use peace in our modern day vernacular, it really doesn't have the true meaning which Jesus actually intended. I think shalom, actually, Father Incarnato explains to us, Father Don Marco, that the shalom really more closely relates to the peace that God wanted to give, because shalom does not just simply mean the absence of war, but it refers to tranquility, an interior serenity that manifests itself in peace and with ourselves and with God. Again, it's just like I was having a conversation prior to the cynical. It's about being moved. So God is looking to move us, but to be moved, we have to cooperate. Mother?
Yes, we're going to have peace. I think the more and more you live in divine will, more you do acts and rounds in divine will, you have peace no matter what's happening in the world. You can maintain that peace knowing that God brings a greater good out of everything that happens. And believing that, scripture says, all things work out for good for those who love God. So thank and praise him for all things, even bad things, good and bad things. You thank and praise him for knowing that he's going to bring about a greater good. And you know, in the end, it's going to be as if the Father had gotten all the glory he should have gotten. Well, he will get all the glory he should have gotten had Adam and Eve never fallen, because our Lord redid everything in a perfect way. He redid all of our lives in a perfect way, recalling him in all of our activities. And the more we do that, the more we realize divine indwelling the Lord dwelling in our souls, the more peace we can maintain in the midst of chaos. You know, and I suggest that you don't watch too much news. You know, a lot of it's not even correct news. You're listening to a lot of false news. Why waste your time on that? To read the divine will writings instead. You know, I mean, I know that if you want, our Lord told Luis in the writings, in order to live this gift of his divine will, you must have the knowledge of it. And the only way I know to get the knowledge of it is to read the volumes. Now, some people may get an infused gift, but even those people who may have a few infused gift, and there's very few, they should read the volumes too, because if they're going to teach it, they need to know what our Lord told Louisa. You know, they need to understand the truths he gave her. If they're going to, you know, relay these truths to other people, even right. though they may have gotten an infused gift. And if they get an infused gift and they don't know their theology and they don't know the catechism, they may teach it the wrong way too. So
Absolutely.
They need to just really learn what the church is teaching, always remain with the Catholic Church and living in the divine will and the way you teach it. You know, promote the sacraments is important. Our Lady in Medjugorje is telling us to go to confession once a month, to pray the 15-decade rosary every day. She's even encouraged us to go to Mass and Communion every day. So, I mean, Our Lady wouldn't be telling some people that you don't have to do that anymore. You know, I mean, God wouldn't be telling them something different than Our Lady's telling them. So Our Lady's telling
consistent.
Us one thing in Medjugorje, and then I've heard some people say, well, you don't need to go to confession anymore.
No.
You know, you don't have to pray the rosary anymore. No, the church, Our Lady's telling us to do those things. So we need to do that. We're Catholic. We need to live our Catholic faith if we want to have peace. Our Lady also in Medjugorje says, if you're following her messages, you will not experience the chastisement the way others may experience it, because you're going to have peace. And I think the greatest part of the chastisement will be spiritual darkness. Those who are with God will remain at peace. They'll have perfect tranquility and joy. They'll be happy people. Things won't disturb their souls. And the more you live in it right now, the more you strive to live in his divine will, the more you have peace in just your daily experiences with other people, with your family members, with your children, with your husband and wife. You can have more peace if you try to live this great gift that God has given us. You know, not that you won't have your crosses, but the crosses bring us there. The cross rises above everything and just makes us grow in holiness. Bit by bit, you're growing in holiness as you experience the cross. And one cross makes the next cross easier. You know, right. I was telling the sisters the other day that COVID was a cross for everybody. At isolation, you couldn't go out, you know. But now the next time something like that happens, it will be easier because you experienced that cross. So the next cross of isolation or a pandemic will be easier than the last one when you have to have a lockdown or, you know, things happening like that. Also, if you're trying to live in the divine will and you can't get to Mass, you can't get to the sacraments because of a lockdown or something happening that's catastrophic, you can still remain in peace. You know, our Lord said we're like living hosts. He lives within us. Yes, we want to receive communion. We get a special grace receiving communion. But you're not going to lose your peace if you're living with him, reading the volumes, trying to apply what you read in these volumes and learn to your daily life. So it's very important to realize the value of suffering. And, you know, our Lord is going to purify the church and the world. It's his grace. It's his gift. It's his mercy and love. Because like he told Louisa, he says she didn't want him to chastise the people. He said, but Louisa, you don't understand that the soul is much more important than the body. If I can, you know, allow the soul to suffer in order, the body to suffer in order to save the soul, that's my love and my mercy,
right.
You know, because our souls will live forever, either in hell or in heaven. So we want to all get to heaven together. Hope I can meet all of you out up there. We want to, you know, just aim for heaven so you can get there, you know, but if you live totally in purgatory, totally in divine will, you eliminate purgatory, he says. Yeah. And not only that, but you also help save a lot of your family members. He can't say no to a person living totally in his divine will. He couldn't say no to his mother because of that. He couldn't say no to Louisa because she lived totally in divine will. And so the more you live it, he won't be able to say no to you. So when you're asking him to give special graces to your family members for salvation, he will not be able to say no to you. They're going to get those special graces. He wants to give them to your family members, but he wants you to ask. He wants you to pray for your family members. And, you know, he will give them special graces to grow in holiness. So, and don't worry about your family members because, you know, God cannot be outdone in generosity. You live your life for him.
Right.
He's going to take care of them. And you may not even know that they're saved on their deathbed. they may have accepted Jesus. Our Lady in Medjugorje said, even after a person dies, Jesus appears, presents himself to them, and they can choose him or reject him. If they've got good hearts, even pagans can be saved. If their heart's in the right place and they choose God, they can be saved, you know. So God is very merciful. He's very loving, very kind. So pray for people. Pray for souls to be saved in these hard times. There's crazy things going on. We don't listen to news, but I just heard from someone yesterday. She was telling me crazy things were going on in California, the crazy parade they had, a gay parade. It's terrible what's happening in the world. We're not exposed to that. But pray for all those people that are exposed to that, all the little children that are being exposed to these terrible things, for the salvation of their souls. Pray rosaries, you know, pray lots of rosaries. We had that rosary novena going on with, you know, the visionaries in Medjugorje praying on the, I think it was Apparition Hill. We did it with them. There were people praying all over the world at the same time every day. That brought up a lot of grace upon the world, you know. But even though you're not praying at the same time every day with many people, pray it throughout, you know, pray it as often as you can. Our Lady's asking for the 15-decade rosary. You may want to even try, if you have time, the 20-decade rosary. Now that Pope John Paul II came out with another rosary. But I encourage you to pray, pray, pray. Our Lady, the last message in Medjugorje, asked everyone to read the scriptures, too. We must read the scriptures. It's very important. If you want to live in the divine will, read the scriptures plus the divine will. Pray your rosaries. Very important. Fasting. Our governor here in Tennessee is asking for fasting throughout the month of July. He's suggesting the intermittent fasting, which means you just skip breakfast. You go up 16 or hours or so without eating from the evening meal until the noon meal. It's a very easy fast. And also he's asking for prayer. So, you know, right. other states might want to carry suit. I was just reading here, the union of wills is that which most binds a soul to Jesus. Our union, our will united to his. He says, I want suffering to be your nourishment, not only as suffering, but as the fruit of my will. The most sincere kiss which binds our friendship more tightly is the union of our wills and the indissoluble bond that will clasp us in continuous embraces will be the continuous suffering. So dying to your will is the hardest suffering. It's the white martyrdom. Not doing your will, but asking him, what does he want me to do? And allowing him to do it in you. So that's dying to your will, being totally purged of what you want to do and only doing what God wants you to do. It's not easy, you know, because we all have these little things we want to do. Want to do it our own way. We're looking for entertainments and different ways of relaxing. And sometimes God is saying, no, you know, spend that time in prayer rather than before the television or before the computer. And we give our fiat to ourselves. We do what we please. We watch the television or we surf around on the computer. And we could be spending that time with Jesus somehow, praying rosaries, going to the Adoration Chapel, going to Mass, you know, depriving yourself of what you would like to do to entertain yourself and do what you feel God wants you to do instead. And you'll be blessed. You'll be happier doing the things he wants you to do rather than the things you want to do. So I encourage you to ask God every moment, what do you want me to do in this situation? And do what you think God wants you to do, not what you would like to do. Mm-hmm.
Well said, Mother. You know, you mentioned about the intermittent fasting. That, yeah, it's really interesting you said that too, because again, of course, that's beneficial
can't
spiritually.
Hear you.
Oops, really?
Now we can. Now we can.
Okay. The intermittent fasting. There was just a medical report that came out recently that's one of the greatest ways to approach mitigating the type 2 diabetes more than the medicines, you know, the intermittent fasting somehow. So again, God's not going to make something that's good spiritually and contrast it and make it the opposite physically. It's usually going to be something that's going to be in sync. So that's something very important. And last but not least, Mother, you mentioned about the, you know, don't fret if somehow some catastrophe or something happens that we don't have access to the sacraments. Pope Francis during COVID gave us, I think, one of the greatest opportunities, because again, to live in the divine will, the high level given that we must be in is the state of grace. Well, what happens if we're in need of having our confession heard and there's no one to hear our confession? Pope Francis gave us the antidote to that as well. He says, in the event that you need to confess and there is no priest to confess to, you confess directly to the Father. Directly mm-hmm. to the Father with the intention to go to a priest as soon as possible and confess that same sin. And at the time you confess directly to the Father, the Father will absolve you of that sin. So again, we have nothing preventing us from, again, going further, journeying further and deeper into the divine will, because being in the state of grace or lack thereof can be one of the biggest deterrents of not being able to receive the grace and graces. So all that's available to us. There's nothing to worry about. You know, God is a master of workarounds, and he understands that we're living in the world, not of the world, and we've got certain things we've got to navigate around, Mother.
It's that intention you have to really be sorry and confess to the Father, you know, if you can't get to a priest. Of course, if you can get to a priest, you got to go to the priest, you know. The sacrament of confession is always there. You know, I wanted to say something, too, about intermittent fasting. They did a study with rats, and the rats that were on the intermittent fast lived longer than the other rats. So when you deprive yourself of food at least 16 hours, your body gets a rest. And it's healthy for you, and you feel better. You don't get hungry either, because once you eat in the morning, your blood sugar starts, and you get hungry again. But if you wait until lunch, it's a very easy fast. I find it very easy here. The sisters have been doing that since we started this month now, you know, and it's very easy. I do it most of the time anyway. Even outside of this month, I was doing that, and I find it very easy, and I find it very beneficial. Also helps you keep your weight down a little bit too, you know, if you want to try to.
That's right. Well, keeping yourself busy reading or listening to the volumes, right. The Hours of the Passion, Virgin Mary of the Kingdom, is a great way to not even recognize that we may be hungry or we may have gone 8 or 9 hours without eating. It's a good thing. And but Sister Jacinta, you agree with that?
Yes, I completely agree. Yeah, so fasting is so good for our body and our soul. And Jesus also gave us a great example of fasting when he was in the desert for 40 days. Right. And so I wanted to say happy 4th of July. I hope everyone's having a great 4th of July today with fireworks and all American food. Yeah, so going on with the topic of peace, I like to read some parts from the letters of Luisa that talks about this. So Luisa says, disturbance is not food for Jesus. Peace forms the day and converts everything we do into love. And then, so the other parts I'm going to read, it's from other parts of her letters that she wrote to different people. Do you want to know how to grow in the fiat? By calling it in everything you do, whether natural or spiritual. And then she also says, basically like the white martyrdom that Mother was talking about, which is like just asking Jesus like what he wants, and then and to kind of like do what Our Lady did, as we read in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will, like just tying our will to the foot of the throne, to the foot of the throne of God the Father, so we won't have to know it anymore. So Luisa says, say to dear Jesus with all your heart that you want to live in his will, that you want to know nothing but his will alone. So just like not even wanting to know like your wills apart from God's will, that's really the greatest martyrdom. And I remember one of Luisa's letters too, I think it was to like a nun named like Mother or Sister Cecilia. She wrote to her saying that on this feast day of your saint, like remember that like you can be like an even greater martyr than Saint Cecilia by like living in the divine will and just like wanting only what like God wants, because really living in the divine will and just fusing yourself completely with Jesus and denying what your human will would want to do, that's really the greatest of martyrdoms, and that's the martyrdom that we're all living right now, and it's so hidden. So I also like to read something from the Book of Heaven, from Volume 36, October 26, 1938, where Jesus tells us through Luisa about the effects of disturbance and how important it is to just stay in peace. All I want is that you do not let yourself be surprised by any disturbance, It pales you, it makes you lose freshness, it debilitates your strength, it makes you lose the liveliness of the light of the fiat. So my love remains repressed, attention loses its pace, and although you are in my will, you stay there as if inside a house in which you don't bother doing your duties to decorate it, put it in order, and give it all the sumptuousness that befits it. So, being troubled like this in my will, you don't pay attention to receiving my creative and operating act. You are as if idle. But courage then, since your pains are because of me, we keep you in our will as the little ill one. I am the first who suffers with you, since your pains are mine, and I suffer more than you. I am your nurse, I assist you. I make your bed out of my arms, and I place my pains around you to strengthen you. And when I was reading this, a part of the gospel that just came to me was when Jesus was sleeping on the boat and there was this big storm, and then all the apostles were trying to wake Jesus up to tell him to calm the storm because they were all not at peace. They were all frightened. And and then Jesus just got off from the boat, and then he just stilled the storm so quickly, and then the apostles weren't afraid anymore. And I think that's really a beautiful metaphor for all of our lives. Like, how many times in our life, metaphorically speaking, how we found ourselves in that big storm, and then we forgot to not be afraid because Jesus has been with their side all along. And Jesus was just resting there in peace. And that's a great example that to just like trust in the Heavenly Father, that no matter how chaotic the world is, just to just keep in our peace and just trust that God the Father won't let us drown in the turbulent waters. So continuing with this passage. Our mother and queen runs to put you on her lap to protect her little ill daughter, since one who operated in my will brought glory and joy to all heaven. All the angels and saints run around our little infirm one to assist her and serve her needs in our will. But they cannot enter into strange things that do not belong to us. Even the pains must be our pains, otherwise they can't find the way to enter them. So the way I see the sentence, even the pains must be our pains, is that you don't focus on yourself when you're suffering. You're focusing on Jesus suffering in you. And you're saying like, Jesus, come suffer in my suffering, or just offering up your suffering for others and not just for yourselves, and to make reparation for all souls, past, present, and future. And in that way, when you fuse your sufferings with those of Jesus and of all saintly souls, past, present, and future, then in that way, the burden may seem to get lighter. Or if it doesn't feel lighter, then God will use those heavy pains of your heart for his greater glory and for the good of the generations. Therefore, courage, all that I want is that you be at peace. How many times I too, under the press of hard pains, became infirm, and the angels ran to sustain me. Even in my Heavenly Father, in seeing me in excruciating pains, ran to me and took me in his arms to strengthen my groaning humanity. And how many times my mother fell ill in my will, in seeing the sufferings of her son, to the point of feeling as though dying, and I ran to sustain her, holding her to my heart, not letting her succumb. All I want is courage and peace. Don't trouble yourself too much, and I'll take care of everything. So Jesus basically telling us just to remain at peace, to trust in him, have a childlike attitude, and also to have courage.
Because you know what, sister, peace is really, if you think about it, mother, peace is contagious. And when Jesus speaks about, you know, blessed are the peacemakers in the Sermon on the Mount, that doesn't mean we go around the city breaking up fights necessarily. But again, we have that beautiful opportunity now through acts and rounds to effectuate peace on a level that God wishes to all souls, past, present, and future. And, you know, he's calling us, you know, that peace, you know, to lack the agitation, the stress, the anxiety, all the things that come with living in the world and of the world, that we have to allow not to become a distraction, really. I mean, we can't live perfectly at this particular time, but we're getting there, and we're morphing into that perfect nature, but it's going to be difficult at times. But the more we can obtain that. Again, we're doing it for the greater good, to glorify God and to help our brothers and sisters. And if they see an agitated me, they're more likely to become agitated as well. But if they see a peace, more tranquil me, that also can be contagious on a very, very good note, Mother.
Yeah, we spread whatever we are to others, whether we're angry.
That's better, son.
You know, it's like it's contagious. Peace can be contagious. Anger can be contagious. And, you know, bitterness can be contagious. Negativity can be contagious. Positivity is contagious. We spread out to others around us what we're experiencing at the moment. We reflect those feelings and those passions. And so, you know, if you want peace, forgive too. If you have anyone you need to forgive, forgiveness brings about much peace in your life. If you're angry with somebody, if someone in your family or friends or a neighbor that you're angry with, you're going to lack peace as long as you won't forgive. And Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, you will not be forgiven. So if you want him to forgive you, forgive others. You're a sinner. Jesus was sinless. He got treated much worse than you're going to ever get treated. So be grateful that you don't get what you deserve. You only get a little bit of what you deserve, you know, and accept the abuse you may get from others and forgive and get over it. And you're going to have peace and joy in your heart, you know. But we cause our own problems. Our anger,
right.
Our lack of forgiveness causes us to be frustrated and unhappy and to lose our joy. People even lose sleep over that, you know, because they're angry with somebody. They won't forgive. They won't get over it. So if you need to help to forgive, read the scriptures. Read the divine will. Pray the rosary. Sometimes you can pray the rosary with others to bring peace in the family. You know, Father Patrick Peyton said the family that prays together stays together. It's very important. In Ireland, families used to pray the rosary together every night. It was a custom. Now they don't do that as much as they used to. They've stopped, but now they've got more problems because of that. But when you pray the rosary in your family and you start praying with little kids, they grow up with the rosary in the family, it'll be easy. If you wait until they're teenagers, it's very hard for them to sit down and pray the family rosary every night.
Right.
So, but, you know, it's possible, but it's more difficult. You got to start praying with the family together or reading scriptures together when they're little children. And then you're going to find that they must get much grace as they're growing up. And you won't have so many problems during those difficult years, teenage years, when they get to that stage.
So true, Mother. And Jesus also says that peace personally puts our passions back in order. Remember, everything was thrown into disorder when Adam and Eve sinned. All that is coming back together again. But again, there's requisites, and God's gently reminding us of what we need to possess so that we may possess Him. Hello, Sister Magdalena. Kumusta ka na?
Hello, Peter. Mabuti po. Salamat. Hello, everybody. July. Happy 4th of July. Have a blessing. Many, many blessings to all of us. Well, speaking of Mother mentioned about, you know, teaching the children early on in life, I think, you know, it's true when we possess, I say possess because it's not ours. God gave it to us. And when we possess peace in our life, in our soul, that really irradiates to everybody. Even little children can, even in fact, children are more sensitive to that. They can sense more whether, you know, we are negative or are on a positive light because they are so pure and they can pick it up. Even infants can do that. So first of all, it starts from within, and everything that we receive, anything good, is from grace. And so I would like to share my reflection since we talk about peace and how to have peace. Of course, we all know that the best way to do that is to live in the divine will. But we also know that gratitude helps us obtain peace and have a positive attitude. To live in the divine will is to live in gratitude no matter what circumstance in life, whether we are suffering from a cross. Be grateful in a way, because the cross is very important, that shapes us to become a better person. It gives us courage and strength and all these good things, good qualities, virtues. It all comes from the cross. So even though it doesn't feel good, if we really think about the fruits of the cross and be grateful, like Sister Faustina, Justinda said, it lightens up the load. It lightens up the suffering. So be grateful in all circumstances. I think it's 2 Colossians 2. It's a biblical, actually. Be grateful in all things, because by our gratitude, we can be happy in anything. And at least from my personal experience, when I feel kind of like low or down, you know, and now that I've read the divine will, I understood it's hard, but I have to tell myself, this is good for me. And therefore, I thank you, Lord, for this. I am suffering right now, and I cannot get out of this rut, but I know that I'm not alone in my suffering. You are with me. And it's not that I've never suffered before. So it's not like we are strange to this feeling of crosses. We have this all our life. It's just that back in the days before, we didn't know about the divine will. We suffered more because we didn't know what to do with it. But now that we know, we have to apply what we learn. And in order for us to bear this suffering, it requires grace. And how do we get the grace from God, you know? And I there's so many ways. There are so many avenues to get grace, you know? First of all, take advantage of the sacraments of the church. That's very, very important grace. Confession, mass, going to Holy Communion. But I would like to read from a passage about the Lord, what he tells Luisa and us, how to receive this grace. He said from August 22, 1907, he says, "My daughter, in order for grace to have free access into the soul, she must be in the world, as if there were no one else but God and herself. Because any other thought or thing put themselves between the soul and grace, preventing grace from entering into the soul and the soul from receiving grace." So these are distractions, worldly distractions, like mentioned earlier, Mother mentioned about the watching, you know, unnecessary news or all things that doesn't necessarily bring us to God. You know, so we are in the world. We have to be in the world. We are in the militant church. So we are not exempted from suffering. We, in fact, we should expect suffering. We should expect like people maybe not accepting us because we love the cross, because we love Jesus. You know, there's always going to be prejudice against us because we love the truth. And it's to be expected. So why are we surprised when that happens to us? Even, you know, we have so many faults. So maybe people would criticize us. It can be true. So it shouldn't surprise me if somebody criticizes me, if somebody tells me I'm proud or arrogant or I am whatever. Why should it surprise me? Yes, true. I am proud. I am arrogant. I'm working on it. You know, so I should be, in fact, grateful that people reminded me that I am proud and arrogant, that I am imperfect. You know, I should be grateful. Thank God, Lord, for thank you for reminding me through that person and pray for that person. That person, yeah, that person could be true, also proud and arrogant, but it's between her and God. It's not my place to judge her or to do anything about that either. You know, if she comes to me and asks for my opinion, I'll tell her the truth. But if not, who am I to teach her? Like, let me tell you, brother, or let me tell you, sister, this is what you know, I mean, that's not my place. So that's one way that will prevent grace from coming to us when we start judging other people. So it should be me and God all the time in the world. And of course, you know, I see God in everyone else, but it should be always God in my mind. So that's one way to receive this grace. And there is no interruption between me and God. So that's one way and very important way to remember. And then he also said that we won't be able to receive this grace unless we are constant in all aspects. And in September 1907, he said, because we talk about rounds, you know, like we do acts and rounds, and why is it significant? Why round is it significant? Let me tell you, because I asked about this also, why is round? Why is it round and not rectangle, not any other shapes? He says, all the works of God are perfect, and their perfection is recognized by their being round or square at the most. So much so that not a stone is placed in the celestial Jerusalem, which is not round or square. Roundness is the same in all its parts. So in order to be perfect, the soul must be the same in all states, in all circumstances, whether prosperous or adverse, whether sweet or bitter. Equality must surround her in everything in such a way as to shape her like a round object. Otherwise, if she is not equal to herself in all things, she will not be able to enter beautiful and smooth into the celestial Jerusalem and will not be able to adorn like a star the fatherland of the blessed. So the more the soul is the same in everything, the closer she comes to divine perfection. So what does it mean to be the same in everything? Again, like I mentioned earlier, constant gratitude, constant joy, constant peace. In other words, constant love. Love in all ways, day in and day out. Love is not just a mere feeling, but it's also a decision to make. It is our very will. Our human will, we can put our human will into the positive use if we use it, our human will, to love God above all things, in all circumstances. And from that love trickles down love of neighbor. And at the same, while we love our neighbor, we are loving ourselves. So it's kind of like it's the same. It's a round thing, a constant love day in and day out. But then how do we know? But how do we get this constancy in our life? How is it possible? It's so difficult. You know, I mean, I'm still working on it. I'm not saying I'm perfect on this one. I'm still working on it. But I think the best way, at least for me as a religious sister, the best way for me to get closest to that constancy, to that joy, to that happiness, is obedience. Obedience to God's will. And in my part, mother being my mother superior, she's the voice of God. So when mother tells me something, I consider that as Jesus telling me. And by obeying mother, I am guaranteed that I am receiving this grace, that I'm guaranteed of peace. Because no matter what, you know, I'm like a little baby. I imagine myself like a little baby in the hands of my superior. And I feel safe that way. And I don't have to understand everything. And for all of us Christians, for all of us, especially Catholics, we have popes, we have bishops, we have priests. We are bound to obey to the church, not an individual priest, because some of our priests probably do not explain very well. But in general, the whole church, the magisterium, especially the magisterium, we have to obey. If the church tells us that we go to confession, all these teachings of the church, we can't say, well, you know, I'm living in the divine will. I'm on the fourth degree now. I don't need confession. I don't need any of these things that the church gives us. Well, that would be against obedience of the church, right? So even though we feel and we think we are good, even though we feel and we think we are already saint, we should not be thinking that way. But even if out of obedience, we have to obey. And also, I'm thinking also, not only when we live in the divine will, it's not only for our own sanctification, of course, but it's also for sanctification for the whole world, past, present, and future, but also reparation. So if I don't need to suffer because, you know, if I feel like I don't deserve it, I may deserve it for the past life that I had, that I need reparation for my past life, or for other people in my family lineage, or for all souls past, present, and future. So like Mother said earlier, we cannot worry about our family members. We cannot worry about anybody else, because if we just do our part, we do what we are supposed to do, then it trickles down to everyone that is surrounding us. It's like a ripple effect.
Actually, Mother, you know, we talked about this too another time. He talks about, you know, basically those family members that may not be directly journeying the divine will, but they'll be protected by the shadow of the divine will. In fact, Jesus says, let me just give a quick quote here. We're turning it back over to you. He says this on volume 11, May 18th, 1915. He says, quote, "The divine justice imposes chastisements, but neither these nor God's enemies will get close to those souls who live in my divine will." And we also remember also that we know that to live in the divine will, just to get entry into it, is very easy. State of grace. So know that I will have regard for the souls who live in my will and for the places where these souls reside. So again, Jesus says also, do what I want and I'll do what you want. So no fear about our siblings, no fear about our family. We're going to step in the breach for them and for a constitute of others that cannot do, will not do, or do not want to do. Mother, sisters.
He was talking about confession. Well, you know, people think they don't need to go to confession because they live in totally in divine will, and they don't go at least once a year where they need to go to confession because they're in mortal sin, because the church, one of the precepts of the church is you must go to confession at least once a year. So if they didn't go, they need to go to confession, you know. But I mean, Our Lady encourages to go every month, but one of the precepts of the church is to go to do your Easter duties, they call it, go to communion mass, communion once a year, receive communion once a year, go to confession once a year. Those are the precepts of the church, and go to mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation, or you've committed mortal sin, missing mass on Sundays or holy days of obligation also.
I just forgot one. I would like to share just one phrase about obedience here, because I think this is very important. It's coming from the Lord. He says, the will of God. Okay, he said, I'll start from here. My daughter, one who chooses his own self, even for one instant, represses grace, becomes the master of himself, and renders God a slave. So even for one moment that we don't obey God, you know, it blocks grace, even for just one instant. And then he said, the will of God makes one take the divine possession. So obedience to the will of God. But obedience is the key to open the door and enter this position. So again, there's a go. Obedience is like the key to everything. If you are a family, maybe, you know, wives obey your husband, husband obey your wife, children obey your parents, in the classroom, school, students obey your teachers. You know, there's order, even in our workplace office, you know, we have ranks, and we have to obey to those offices, because that gives peace. Peace in the workplace, peace in the family, peace in everywhere. So if we only know how obedience is very important, and this obedience coming from God, I mean, it comes from God, but many people don't recognize that anymore. Many of us are blinded that we don't recognize that our superiors are gifts from God. Even our government officials, president, governors, you know, they're not, some many of them now are not very good, but God allowed it. So we can still be grateful for those.
Yeah, and God's grace never wavers. It's always, you know, potent. It's always 100%. It's just our blockages that we put up, our ways around that shield us from receiving the full effect of it, the efficacy, I should say. And that's why God is working on us, you know, instilling our virtues. Remember, he says desire enters us into this gift. Knowledge advances us, and life actualizes it. So we have to remain steadfast. Yeah, it is a process, but it's a process that's going to be as long or as short as God wishes. There's no timetable on this, and that's what's so beautiful about this. It's a gift. It's a mystical gift that nothing we have done to disturb it, to deserve it, I should say. But once we receive it, everything is now on our plate. How much do we want it? Say hello, sister.
Hi. Hey, everybody. Happy 4th of July, and blessings of peace. And yeah, I think just... listening to what Sister Magdalena was sharing, it just came to my heart too, of like how in the word obedience, it means to listen to. And I just think about how like Saint John the Beloved, you know, resting on Jesus's heart and listening to his desires and his will, how we all have that opportunity to, especially in the Blessed Sacrament, in receiving Jesus and listening to his voice. But each moment of the day, that's our calling, you know, lay person, religious, married, whatever your state in life is, it's all about listening to God's heart. And I think the beautiful way that we get to do that in the divine will is by reading these volumes that are just coming right from his heart. And Jesus shares that. So it's just, it's a very much, I don't know, you receive a lot of peace and joy from just reading the volumes. And the passage that Jesus led me to today on peace is from volume 4, October 11th, 1901. And the title is Silence of Jesus, the Most Necessary Nourishment is Peace. And in this, he says, now, and Luis is talking, now while Jesus was with me, I seemed to see the Queen Mama. And upon seeing Jesus with me, she told me, it is you who keeps him. Thank goodness he is with you, for if he has to pour out his just fury, if he is with you, you will hold him back. My daughter, pray that he would hold back the scourges, for the evil ones are all ready to come out, but they see themselves bound by a supreme power that prevents them. And even if divine justice will permit it, since they would not be able to do it when they please to, there will be this good, and they will recognize the divine authority over them and will say, we did this because we were given the power from above. And I think that just ties into that Jesus is so, he's so humble that he obeys us in the divine will, that he wants to save all souls, obviously. And Luisa is very much concerned with all of her brothers and sisters. And so she is mitigating God's justice the divine justice, and you know, desiring each person their salvation. So it's we get to unite with that in the divine will, and just continuing, he says, "My daughter, what a war is being nourished in the moral world! It is horrifying to see it. Yet the first nourishment that should be sought in society, in families, and by each soul, should be that of peace. All other nourishments become unhealthy without it. Be they even virtues themselves, charity, repentance, without peace, they bring neither health nor true sanctity. Yet this nourishment, so necessary and salutary, has been discarded by today's world, and they want nothing but turbulence and wars. My daughter, pray, pray." And that's just a call for all of us as well to unite our prayers. And especially, you know, receiving Jesus in the Eucharist in reparation for all souls, past, present, and future. Especially as we, you know, in America, we're honoring, you know, Jesus is the divine king of the Eucharist with the Eucharistic revival that's going on, which is so exciting and so beautiful. That through the Eucharist and through Jesus's presence, through his divine will, that he will obtain peace for the world with Our Lady, Queen of Peace. And we get to be peacemakers with that and offer our prayers, our sacrifices, our fasting, the rosaries that we pray with Jesus, all of these little things that he's calling us to, that he's invited us to, that we receive as gift, really to make it channels of peace, and that brings light like we may not see with our own eyes, but through the eyes of faith, that all of these things that we're doing with Jesus bring other souls to, you know, conversions, to have experiences where they find Jesus, they find peace, and they get to receive this gift of the divine will as well. And so that's really our prayer with Jesus. And I think just a beautiful way that we find, yeah, find our pieces through reading the volumes and through living the life in the of the faith in the Catholic Church that we're blessed to maybe grow up in and or be converted into. And just yeah, it's really amazing, just leaning into the Lord and seeing too that, I don't know, it's just interesting for me that the reading this it says silence of Jesus, and how sometimes Jesus allows us, and I was reading later in the volumes, how Louisa, you know, felt that privation of Jesus, felt that he wasn't there, and how he allows us to experience the sufferings of others too, the burdens of other people to help carry the cross that Jesus is carrying. And I think about like the married life, like that's what spouses do, and that's what, you know, mothers and fathers do with their children, is they take on their sufferings and help them to bear it. And so we as religious too are really called into that marriage with Jesus, so we, like Louisa, are called to take on his sufferings and to repair and to love him and console him with Our Lady. So it's just an encouragement for me and for everybody that all of this turns out for good, and all of this is yeah, we, like Mother has shared too, like we are going to experience the crucifixion of the world, but in order for the resurrection to happen, like we need to go through these purifications, and in our own life, we have that too. So it's just a great grace and a gift that we get to experience with Jesus.
Amen. It certainly is. And, you know, it's so interesting too, because, you know, peace also means bringing justice, and, you know, justice is not always pleasant. And therefore, there can be even aggressiveness in the name of justice, in the name of peace, that must be done in order to sort of squash. You know, there's a book on moral theology which speaks about just wars and things of that nature. I mean, nobody likes war. I mean, we should try to avoid it at all costs. But sometimes, you know, putting a force to a force will, in essence, save many, many lives. And we know that for a fact. It's all there for us. And it's so beautiful, too, because he teaches us time and time again that he's declared, he's ordained us really peacemakers, and we have to go nowhere. There's no office we have to go to, and there's no meetings we have to attend. We can do it wherever we want, whenever we want. And again, he's encouraging that often. So again, we have everything we need, and we have everything we have not what we don't need. So hello, sister. I think this is the second session with us, or is this number three?
This is number two.
Oh, this is, I thought this was number two. Okay, so great. Well, it was wonderful the first time. We love your contributions, and again, the you couldn't be under a better tree, being under the tree of Mother Gabriel Marie. So we're just delighted to have you, and I think your mom also is joining us online too. She's been joining us for quite a while. So
yes, she is.
So thank you, mom, too, for your support and for your gift of life to your daughter. And now, you're sort of like Saint Anne. Who again gave us the greatest example, I think, of the divine will. I mean, they had everything they need, Anne and Saint Joachim, except they were childless. And then when our Lord gifted Saint Anne and Saint Joachim with a child, our blessed mother, not a child, the child, our blessed mother, what did they do at the age of three? They gave the blessing, the gift back to our Lord. Just like when our Lord is giving us the divine will, he's giving us the gift, we give the gift back to him on the level due to him. So that must have been the most difficult thing in the world. And again, from a parent's perspective, it's probably a bittersweet also. You're not losing a daughter, you're gaining a sister, in other words. So it's beautiful. Thank you, mom. And thank you, sister, for joining us.
Thanks, mom.
Do not say it. You cannot say that often enough. Remember that.
That's true. No, she said, Mom, I'm sharing a joke. Well, it's not really a joke, but it's a thought that came to your mind. It was, I'm not losing a daughter, I'm gaining a son. And he's pretty good. He's pretty good. Jesus.
I like that. S-U-N. I like it. I like it.
Yeah. Anyway, so the writing that came to me today for this theme of peace is from Volume 6. October 10th, 1905. And this is a part of it. The sign that the soul is perfectly clasped and united with me is that she is united with all neighbors. Just as no clashing or disordered notes must exist with those who are visible on earth, so can no clashing note of disunion exist with the invisible God. And I think, like, what came to my mind with this is, like, just... So in the world right now, especially, we have so much division and we have so much confusion. Like, there's so many sides. We were talking about this at lunch today. Like, and a lot of it is like the agenda. Like, they're putting us against each other. There's all these lies and confusion being spread, like, in the news. And so we are kind of opposed to each other. And even the evils that we see, like, people doing, like, many of them, like, I believe, are very blind. They don't know what they're doing because these are such confusing times, and they're not as culpable, you know, as we are, who have been given this, like, great, great gift of the truth. And I think, like, it's just really, really, really important, especially in these times, to be very understanding of each other, not just in this country, not just in this world, but, like, even within the church. Like, there's so much confusion about what's going on in the church, but just being charitable with each other, understanding, like, these are confusing. And just, like, this, the image that kind of comes to my mind is, like, when we're perfectly united with Jesus, we hold all of humanity within ourselves. Like, we hold every single brother and sister in us. Every political leader is our brother and sister, and into Jesus. And when Jesus is fused in us, it's almost like everyone is also our child. Like, everyone becomes everything to us because everyone is everything to Jesus. And we are, it's like our body is a member of everybody else's body. And so, like, when our brothers and sisters are confused and hurting and are doing the wrong things, like, we feel that pain for them. But I think, like, something that happened with me when I, near the beginning of when I found divine will and, like, started praying that Jesus would live his life in me, that he would allow me to see, like, to look through my own eyes, to like, love in my own hearts, to, like, actually experience his life through me and interact with people through me. It was like, it was when I was in college. Like, I was just walking around campus, and I would see people in a way I never had before. It's like this incredible love and, like, overwhelming compassion for everybody. And, like, I went to a liberal arts college, so, like, it was, you know, pretty crazy and pretty sad. But I just, because of Jesus, like, in me, and because I gave him, like, the freedom to live his life in me, I experienced the way that he saw them, and
the understanding that he had for these people, like, and I could feel within me, like, his own prayer to the Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Like, they know not what they do. And I mean, technically, we are all culpable. Like, we all technically know, like, in our conscience, like, but the way that Jesus sees is just so, so, so compassionate. And when we really, really invite him to live our life, his life in us, when we see our brothers and sisters who are doing the wrong things, who are maybe on the wrong side, then we're not opposed to them. There is no enemy in this world. There's no, nobody in this world is our enemy. The only enemy of us is the devil, like, is the darkness. And I, like, Jesus, his heart is just constant. There is only one thing. He just wants all souls saved. He just wants all souls, like, in the truth. And so to have this attitude, because it's not that we need to, we should stand up for the truth. We should speak up when we see that people are confused and something is wrong. But to have the heart of Jesus that we love the person so much. We are hurting with the person. And, like, when we speak the truth, it's not out of a place of self-righteousness or anger or, like, I'm better than you and you're doing everything wrong and blah, 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 blah. Because we've all done things wrong, like, so wrong. And truly, like, people, probably everyone who's hearing this message, it's like we are more culpable and we have been given so much more than most people in the world. And so, we are offering ourselves with Jesus for love of the world. Like, we are offering ourselves with Jesus for the conversion of all souls to the truth. And that's kind of how we can have this attitude, this no clashing, no disordered notes. It's true, there will be clashing. I mean, we are in a battle. We do disagree because it's good versus evil that's going on right now. But I almost see it as, like, the clashing. It's like the things go against each other, but with Jesus, it's like the divine will can take hold of that evil and turn it into a harmony. And that harmony is the reparation, is the love, is the offering, unconditional love of our brothers and sisters. I think that's about all that I have to say.
You said a lot. I mean, you're so right. The enemy is not our brothers and sisters. Okay, many are being used, some intentionally, some not intentionally. It's principalities. It's evil institutions that have been formed by Satan, and again, it's being used. Humans are being used. Souls are being used. We also have what Our Lady taught us. Our Lady has prophesied everything that was going to come, including, of course, the divine will. But she said, at Fatima, she said, there'll come a time, there'll be a diabolical disorientation. Good will be bad, bad will be good. Even some good people will do bad things thinking they're doing good. So I really think we're right in the midst of that right now. But as Our Lady told Father Gobi and others, when all hope will appear lost, and we may be getting close to that, that will be the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, of her heart. And her heart is to bring all souls to her Son. What's the best way to bring them? What does Jesus want? He wants everyone to enter into his divine will again, not for the first time, again. That's where we were. That is our home. That is in our DNA. We recognize it. And God says, I have everything ready for you. And now it just takes our cooperation, it takes our fiat. Takes us the same fiat that you gave to enter Mother's Order, the same fiat that your mom gave to allow you to make that decision. These same fiats we have to make also. We can do it often. And like Mother says also, we can do it, we can articulate it verbally many times, but then after a while, that fiat becomes an aura fiat, if that makes any sense. We don't have to articulate it. It's part of who we are. Remember, Mother also mentioned about when we do something constant enough, it becomes our second nature, so to speak. We don't have to think about it. And then when you have a second nature, do that often enough, it becomes your nature. And then, of course, ultimately, it becomes you. That is you. Everything's transparent. And this can be instant because, again, everything is predicated on grace, and God continues to give us grace every moment. Thank you, sister, for that sharing. Mother?
As good gets better, bad gets worse, you know. And where evil abounds, grace also abounds. So you see people all over the world getting involved in the divine will, more and more great, wonderful things happening. So even though you see bad things happening, good things are happening. God's getting ready to do a great thing. And Our Lady's Immaculate Heart will triumph. And at the same time, I think the divine will reign fully around the world. You know, I was just reading in volume 3, April 21st, 1900. Our Lord says, your bodies are as many sacred vessels in which I make my dwelling. Therefore, it's necessary that I do some little dusting every now and then. That is, that I visit them with some tribulation so that I may remain in them with more decorum. Therefore, be calm. And of course, that means be at peace, no matter what happens. My daughter, how precious is the cross? See now, in giving itself to the soul, the sacrament of my body unites her with me. It transforms her to the point that she becomes one with me. But as the species are consumed, the union truly established ceases. Not with the cross. The cross takes God and unites him with the soul forever. And he places itself more surely as a seal. Therefore, the cross seals God in the soul in such a way that there is never separation between God and the crucified soul. So, you know, our suffering suffered here on earth with resignation brings about a greater eternity for each one of us. The more we resign to the suffering, that a small suffering can be greater than a large suffering if it's suffered with resignation, realizing our Lord suffering it within us. He lives within each one of us. He's experiencing what you're experiencing. He's very united to you. He's very close to you. He knows your innermost thoughts and motives more than you do. And so the desire and the motive is what's so important in divine will, that we desire, our motive is to have God totally live within us, to do everything in and through us. I was wondering, Peter, if, you know, we have a half hour more. Oh, you haven't done it. After she finishes, if we want to pray a rosary together, because pray for peace, we could all pray the rosary together on the 4th of July.
That'd be great. That'd be great, Mother. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll share quick, I guess. So I wanted to talk about, you know how Mother was saying about resignation. I was meditating upon that too, about how is our decision also to make the choice of being resigned to be at peace. And I wanted to connect to what Sister Madalena was saying of having a good will to be able to carry out the crosses with Jesus' crosses, and how we need to also put our part on this. Because, yeah, the divine will is the greatest thing, and the divine will, we give you the graces to abandon yourself to this, like if you're suffering or you're going through something. But it's always my choice if I want to be at peace or not. The Lord can give me a lot of, I think I said it last Sunday, the Lord can give me a lot of graces, the Lord can give me a lot of help. But if I block that and if I don't allow them to come and help me, it's never going to happen. So I think that's why he gave us this, the human will, to be free to make the choice of, okay, I feel terrible, I feel miserable, but I decide to give this to Jesus and to suffer it with him. And I also mentioned last time we were on Mary's Hill that about a peace book that I'm reading, and it's really helping me a lot. And today is just, I guess the Lord just connected a lot of, with Magdalena's talk about the topic that I read today is goodwill, a necessary condition for peace. And I'm going to just read a little bit of a paragraph, but it said, one cannot enjoy a profound and durable peace if he's far from God, and his inmost will is not entirely oriented toward him. You made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they are rest in you, St. Augustine said. A necessary condition for interior peace, then, is what we might call goodwill. We could also call it purity of heart. It is the stable and constant disposition of a person who is determined more than anything to love God, who desires sincerely to prefer in all circumstances the will of God to his own, who does not wish to consciously refuse anything to God. Maybe, and even certainly, in everyday life, his behavior would not be in perfect harmony with this desire, this intention. There will undoubtedly be many imperfections in his effort to accomplish this desire, but he will suffer, he will ask the Lord's pardon for this and seek to correct himself. Following moments of eventual failure, he will strive to come back to his usual disposition of wanting to say yes to God in all things without exception. Here, then, is what we mean by goodwill. It is not perfection nor sainthood achieved, because it could well coexist with hesitations, imperfections, and even faults. but it is a way because it is just this habitual disposition of heart whose foundation is found in the virtues of faith, hope, and love, which permits the grace of God to carry us little by little toward perfection. When I read this, it really, really helped me a lot because, you know, tendency, I guess, because we are full of pride is, okay, I want to be perfect and I got this. And when you feel kind of like upset or you lose your peace, at least me, I'm like beating myself up too much. Like, oh man, I failed again. Like, I wish I just could be, you know, this perfect person, this perfect saint. But it's also that's pride because I want to be a saint on my own way, on my own strength. And something that I keep repeating to myself over and over again too, when we were listening to the discernment of the spirit from Father Timothy Gallagher, Christopher West mentioned that when we ask for God's strength, it's not for you to become independent of him, of, okay, I want your strength just to be peaceful. In this case, he's talking about peace. And then I'll be peaceful all the time and I don't need you anymore. No, it's the strength of continuously enduring this. And I also think about if we didn't have struggles, then what is the merit or the reward? Like it will be just a continuous boring, you know, life. Of, oh yeah, I'm living perfectly. And it's how I think the lady said to the little shepherds in Fatima, I don't promise you that you will not suffer in this world. So that's our mission, and that's what we're called to. And lastly, I just want to share from volume 1737, April 15, 1925. Luisa is kind of like complaining a little bit because the priest told her that she was a little bit exalting herself too much because Jesus told her to be like Our Lady and to imitate her. And she felt really miserable because she knew that she's nothing and she got so troubled. And Jesus tells her, my daughter, why do you trouble yourself so much? Don't you know that peace is the smile of the soul, is the assured and serene sky in which the divine sun make its light blaze more vividly in such a way as to let no cloud arise above the horizon, which might occupy the light? Peace is the beneficial dew which vivifies everything and bejewels the soul with an enrapturing beauty, and attracts the continuous kiss of my will upon her. And besides, what is this that opposes the truth? Where is this exalting you too much? Only because I told you that I place you near my divine mother, because she, having been the depository of all the goods of my redemption, as my mother, as virgin, as queen, I place her at the head of all the redeemed ones, giving her a distinct, unique, and special mission, which no one else will be given. The very apostles and the whole church depend upon her and receive from her. There is no good which she does not possess. All goods come from her. It was right that, as my mother, I was to entrust everything and everyone to her maternal heart. Embracing everything and being able to give everything to everyone was only of my mother. So this is also an advice of asking Our Lady to help you to be at peace, to help you to give her, to give you her peace. Because she is the depository of everything, Jesus says. And just having that trust that even though you're going through the worst thing that you could ever imagine, how Mother also says, is the cross were, how do you say, Mother? They were for you. They were customized for you to make you grow. So yeah, really encourage you to always say fiat, even though it looks hard, and just give it to God. And
I was going to say the cross, kind of like the fertilizer, the chicken dung or whatever. The cow manure to make you grow. So
that's what I had to say.
Yeah, we all have customized crosses fit just for us, and God knows exactly what we need to help us become saints. So, you know, appreciate your little crosses and your purifications because he knows what's good for your soul and he wants to give you a beautiful place in heaven. So we just must cooperate with him. Peter, would you like to lead the rosary and we'll respond?
No, I'd like you to do it, Mother. I'd be inadequate to say the least, but I'd like to just make a quick comment on what the sister was talking about when she was talking about goodwill. Again, everything becomes better known. The divine will explains everything. And, you know, I always thought I knew what an upright intention was, you know, to do it on behalf of God, to know that you're doing it for the right reason, not for yourself, not selfish reasons. It's not even close. He tells us what this goodwill or this upright intention, which is a requirement to receive the divine will. It's in volume 9. It's March 8th, 1910. Just very, very short. Our Lord says, quote, "My daughter, the upright intention is light of the soul. It converts her into light, and it gives her the way to operate in a divine manner. The soul is nothing but a dark room, and the upright intention is like sun that enters into it and illuminates it. With this difference, the sun does not turn walls into light, while the upright working transforms everything into light." And astonishing. Nothing like I thought it to be. That's why it's so important to read on. Volume 9, March 8th, 19th. No, Mother, if you would leave it, please, and perhaps your sisters maybe you would lead and your sisters respond. No one wants to hear my raspy voice anymore. Trust me.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen.
Let's pray this rosary too in the name of all souls, past, present, and future, and with all the holy angels and God's most holy divine will linked with Saint Louisa. So we're going to multiply this rosary and invite them all to pray the rosary with us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
We pray this rosary for world peace, peace especially in our country, for all the evil in our country to be completely annihilated, for goodness to come upon the country, for the Holy Spirit to fall upon this country today on this great feast, that many souls will be saved, many souls transformed, and realize they are made to the image and likeness of God and to live for him and him alone. The five luminous mysteries, the first, the baptism in the Jordan. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, and lead all souls to heaven, especially those who are in most need of your mercy.
Ave Maria. Ave Maria. Ave Maria.
The second luminous mystery, the wedding at Cana.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, and lead all souls to heaven, especially those who most need of thy mercy.
Ave Maria.
The third luminous mystery, the proclamation of the kingdom.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus,
forgive us our sins,
save us from the fires of hell, and lead all souls to heaven, especially those who are most need of thy mercy.
Ave,
Ave, Ave Maria. Ave, Ave, Ave Maria.
The fourth luminous mystery, the Transfiguration.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners.
Now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without
end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. Little Mother, come to you. Ave.
Ave Maria. Ave. Ave. Ave Maria.
The fifth luminous mystery, the institution of the Holy Eucharist.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus,
forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell.
Lead all souls to heaven, especially those who are most in need of your mercy. Ave,
Ave, Ave Maria. Ave, 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 Ave Maria. Hail Mary, Queen and Throne of Love, O Mother of Mercy and of Love, O Mother.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God,
that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you so much, Mother, for that. What a great way to end with the Holy Rosary on this, the 4th of July. And again, we don't have to be in the United States to be praying for peace. And Jesus says peace can only come through the divine will. So that's really interesting. So we're exactly where we want to be. And Mother, I'm going to give you the last words.
Well, we just pray for our country, pray for peace, and be cheerful, and be open to the Lord's grace in your life, because wonderful things are getting ready to happen. The crosses are going to come. The cross is the gift. The cross is the purification. We want the purification to come for all this craziness in the world to be wiped away, and for our future generations to have a wonderful world to live in and a wonderful church to be a part of. So, you know, we want to continue to pray and get close to God so that when things fall apart, we will not fall apart. We will be strong and vigilant and loving God. Pray and pray your rosary and pray it well. Because peace will come through the rosary. There have been many, many great miracles that have taken place through the rosary, the power of the rosary. You know, we wear our rosaries on our left side. And I've heard Father Don Calloway say once, it's because the rosary is a weapon, and a soldier wears his sword on the left side. So we, as religious, wear the rosary on the left side, because the rosary is considered a great weapon against evil. So pray the rosary, read your divine will, live in the sacraments of the church, go to Mass, communion, confession, and you will be okay. Nothing will ruffle you up. Everything will be fine in your life. So God bless you. We love you, and have a great 4th, which we have the rest of it. Just over here, it's 4th. It's 5:30 now, so it's coming to an end the day. But we love you all. Thank you for being with us on this great day.
We love you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Mother knows best, so I'm going to allow everyone to unmute themselves now if they'd like to, and say goodbye to mother and sisters. You may do so now. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sister.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mother.
God bless you all.
Hi, Jenny.
Thank you, Mother.
I love you all.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Thank you. Love you.
Love you, Mom.
Happy 4th.
Happy 4th to you, too.
God bless America.
Yes. Bring peace.